Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
And right across New South Wales and Queensland, right across Rugby League territory, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin. Before we go to the boys, let's have a look at the scores that bring us into this round of the NRL. South 35, Broncos 6, Manly 13, Warriors 12, Panthers 30, Raiders 10. Three tries for Mr. David Fifita as the Gold Coast beat the Knights 42-16. Storm 52, Dogs 18, Roosters 26 just came back late and absolutely gave it to the Sharks 18. Today we've got Tigers, Cowboys, we've got Para and Dragons coming up as well. Taking from that, Para have now won five games. From five, Para just might join them tonight. We will wait to see what happens there. Bulldogs are still winless. Now, what do we got coming up the show today? We've got some great things. We're going to talk about Craig Fitzgibbon. Is he off to coach the Sharks? We'll talk about that. We'll pay tribute to the great Tommy Radonikis and have some fun things too. Maroon Confidential returns. Paul Kent, good morning to you.
Well, good afternoon, Anthony.
Good afternoon, I beg your pardon.
We don't want to start getting on you too early in the day.
But, no, that's okay.
It's a bit later in the day than you clearly thought it was. So, good afternoon to you. I can't wait for Maroon Confidential. I've seen you working away furiously over there on the phone, making all your calls, making sure you're dotting all your I's and crossing your T's. You don't want to ever get sued for saying something that's wrong, so good luck with it.
Hang on a second. I don't know what you think. There's a chance I could get sued. I'll just dump the whole thing. It's not that important. And Hoops, welcome to you.
Afternoon, Anthony. Mm-hmm. Cracking round five. And Maroon Confidential, very excited to see what you bring to the table. Is Victor the Vessel involved in Maroon Confidential later on?
No, but I did, just to give a little sweetener, a little taste, I did spot not Victor the Vessel, but Victor the Inflictor down there at Bondi Gusto Coffee Shop having a coffee.
Victor Radley.
Victor Radley was down there, yeah.
Well, there's the best you've got, so.
Well,
how are you going to improve from there?
Well, I mean, no, believe it or not, I can improve. I've even got an unspotted. Not spotted. I've even got a not spotted. Gordy Tallis in the Gordon Tallis studio in Brisbane. Hello.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, boys. How are we?
Fantastic. Well, boys, a big weekend of rugby league. What have you been up to? Obviously, your Titans won yesterday, Gordy.
Yeah, they did. I was on the sideline for Fox. It was a good performance. Obviously, after the Raiders, they struggled to score points. But yesterday, they jumped off to an early lead. David Fifita was absolutely outstanding. But the Knights are undermanned. You know, the Knights, it would have been a great club victory for them with all their injuries, and plus I had the tragedy too of the Harold Matthews kid too on late Friday. So it was a tough day for Newcastle, but hopefully they bounce back next week.
All right, we might come back and talk more about that Harold Matthews situation there, but boys, let's start off with some of these results from football. We've given you the results. Now, the Roosters 26 have defeated the Sharks 18. Boys, I don't want to say the ease, but the force in which they come back late in that game, they were down 18-4, and they've dug up another just some gold from Sam Walker through some beautiful passes at the back end of that game, Paul.
Yeah, he did, but I think it's important here for a number of reasons not to focus entirely on Sam Walker. I understand why he's the headline moment, but the really telling thing for me out of that game was the Roosters never say die. They had opportunities to throw the flag up and say, you know what, let's just keep our reserves in stock for next week, but they didn't. At 18-4, you could have forgiven them for just coasting through full time and resettling and coming back for next week or regrouping for next week. But they dug in. They showed why they're a champion club. And they dug in. They came back. And they won a game that really didn't have a right to win. Cronulla were very, very good for 60 minutes. But again, this is Cronulla's problem. They just can't put full 80-minute games together. And Johnny Morris, I felt a bit for him because he finally looked like he was going to get that top eight victory. And with 20 minutes to go, 18-4 ahead, they let in three late tries and lost the game.
We do see, Hoops, we do give the Sharkies a lot of love around here, and they probably deserve it. Having said that, in the last 3 weeks, they've been thrashed once, and they surrendered a big lead last night.
Yeah, look, we've seen Cronulla plenty of times over the course of the last 18 months put strong performances together, but they're always against teams that aren't in the top eight or haven't been inside the top eight 2019 or 2020. So as much as they've been able to make the finals both of those years, their Achilles heel is that against the better sides, they're being beaten. And so that's why we see headline news today that in all likelihood, it looks as though the Cronulla Sharks will be doing a deal with Craig Fitzgibbon to land there and take over as the head coach for 2022 and beyond. But in terms of the game, Anthony, I thought it was the old bull, Jared Warea Hargraves, Gordy, who when he came on, he really changed the momentum, and he gave away an early penalty with that late shot on Chad Townsend. But then aside from that, he really made it personal, and he really wanted to make a statement.
Yeah, well, a couple of weeks ago, I thought that he let him down. I think it was against South. He come off the bench, and I think it was about four or five mistakes that he made when he needed to come on and make an impact. And last week, he was fantastic. And this week, he's one of those guys, I think, that he just scares the opposition. And you would love to play with him. He goes very close to that red line every week. And that's what you want. And that's what you want from your big guy, mate. He's there to intimidate, and that's what he does.
Yeah, I think he does a great job. There's a statistic around about the Roosters, and more than anybody, he has an effect on their results, such as his presence in the team. He's such a strong presence, and always has been. And he's playing better football now than he has. You know, like you got to go back 5 years to sort of find this impact he's having in games. I love the way he's going.
Mm. What about for blokes like, I often say this because I have to, blokes like us that just watch the game, haven't played the game at any professional level, haven't been involved in a team. So a bloke like Jared Warea Hargraves, Gordy, he comes out, he belts a couple of blokes, he gives away one or two cheap penalties, but do we say that in the long run it does more good than harm, that sort of behaviour?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was those guys like, obviously in my area, there was someone like Mark Geyer. And, you know, when you're taking a hit up, you knew where he was in the line. He'd make an impact. And they can change the momentum just with their presence, either with or without the football. And that's what you want in your team. You don't want everybody to be a cardboard cutout. And that's what Jared does. He can fly out of the line. He can hit you. But obviously when you do that, you know, you can come up with the odd mistake or, you know, the odd penalty because your target can sort of move and it's a bit higher. But, yeah, they're fantastic to have in your team. They're the guys that you just want to play with. I would have loved to have played with, you know, Mark Geyer because he's that guy, or Jared Warea Hargreaves, because when you go out there, he's mad. You just put a big key in his back and wind him up and let him go.
The thing about that, Anthony, there was an old NFL coach once and he was talking about his line, you know, you got your offensive line, defensive line in NFL. That the offensive line throw the ball back to the quarterback. And he said, those guys never get any recognition in the media. He said, nobody ever talks about them. Nobody ever really notices what sort of job they do.
Yeah.
He said, but at the end of every game, he said, those two lines know who wants to keep playing and knows who don't. Yeah. Know who don't.
Yeah.
Because one side's dominating the other, one side's giving it to the other, and you don't see that contest because our focus is always somewhere else. And it's the same with rugby league. You'll always see in the highlights, you'll see the Sam Walker cutout passes. You'll see the tries. You know, you'll see the odd break that gets made. And if there's a big tackle, you might even see that. But what you don't see is just one bloke just giving it to another bloke for an entire game. So when full time rings, one of them goes, "Thank God that's over," and the other one goes, "I could go another 15 if I need it."
Yeah, and to a point. So you're talking about a halfback. Even as a back rower, I played better when I had better front rowers. So I had Glenn Lazarus, Petro Sivanisiva, and Shane Webke. The platform that they would lay for me was unbelievable. It just made my run easier. I would love to know what halfback could play. And Brisbane, they had, you know, one of the greatest sides in history, and they couldn't win until they got a Glenn Lazarus there.
Mm.
You know, and that's, and it's sort of gone back to that. I think with the real changes, you need big guys that can play quality minutes, and they got to win that middle. And I'm watching it with the Titans, with the young Tino, and with the Roosters, with Jared for a long, long time. If you win the middle, and it's hard to win the middle, and those big guys have to win the clash. They get all the bruises. They take the toughest run of the game. They always take the tough carries. And as you said, Paul, like, no one really gives them the kudos that they deserve.
Aside from JWH and a brilliant performance, and then those couple of silky touches from Sammy Walker, double cutout passes, beautiful to watch, the big story is going to be who's coaching Cronulla next year. And it's, of course, in the Sunday Telegraph today and now all over the headlines that it looks as though Cronulla have been in negotiations with Craig Fitzgibbon's management for a period of time. And in all likelihood, I'm not sure that the deal is officially signed and sealed as of yet, but that's the way that the cards are looking, as though they're going to fall.
Okay, just 133353, Cronulla Sharkies fans, if you want to get involved on this chat, the boys are going to talk about, does Fitzgibbon, Craig Fitzgibbon, come in and coach Cronulla? Would you like to see John Morris stay? Because we hear if it's for some reason it's not Fitzy, it might be young Cameron Seraldo at Penrith. So it does look like one way or the other they will change coaches at some point, Cronulla. But Craig Fitzgibbon has been waiting in the wings, boys, and he has been offered other coaching jobs, the Dragons being one of them. I mean, he is the next cab off the rank, but he has refused people's courtship before.
Yeah, he has. Look, but he was wooed by the Dragons last year, and he made a promise to the Roosters that he would see out his contract. So that's why it was bad timing. And if it was this season, maybe he would look at the Dragons. I think Cronulla are a really good starting spot for a new coach to come into the job, because fact is, whenever a coach takes a new job, 99 times out of 100, he's replacing a sack coach who's leading a club that's not performing. So you've got some work there to do. Cronulla, from that point of view, are in pretty good shape. For to come in as a replacement coach, they're in pretty good shape compared to...
Great shape.
Yeah, for instance, where like Anthony Griffin is when he took over, or where Michael Maguire took over West Tigers, and they had a lot of work to do. Look at where Trent Barrett's walked into this year and the work he's got ahead of him. Trent Barrett's got 3 or 4 years' work ahead of him just to start getting square as in a 50-50 team with wins and losses. And that's how long it's going to take him. Whereas if you go into Cronulla right now, you're taking over a team, or you're going to assume a team that made the semis last year, that are there or thereabouts this year, have got a level of toughness in them, have got a little bit of issues here and there with their salary cap, but overall they're in pretty good shape. And Craig Fitzgibbon, I remember you go back to the days when Craig Bellamy was off of West Tigers, and he knocked it back because he thought, you know, for my first job, it's the wrong job, because you can't, too many coaches are so desperate to get the start that they'll take a job and can't, you know, they can't fix what needs to be fixed in the time that they've got. Well, sometimes they're still learning on the job, which is really dangerous, and they don't do it. So therefore, they're basically tarnished from that point on. You go into Cronulla, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And I think that's a really good starting spot for Craig Fitzgibbon. The fact that his father coached there in the late 80s, early 90s as well is also, I think, a nice touch.
Okay, 133353, a couple of the Cronulla fans are wanting to call through and have their say on Craig Fitzgibbon and on John Bomber Morris, who we love and respect around here as well. But I suppose the other thing is two hoops for somebody like Fitzy, and for a club like the Roosters, where he comes from, who have a multitude of talent and players that they have to let go to keep under the salary cap. He might be, you know, a magnet for good quality players to follow him over there.
No question. I think that's a big part of the reasoning why the Cronulla Power Brokers have decided to try and land his signature the way that they have, because there's a view that he may be more attractive for players who are off contract than what Bomber Morris is in terms of his standing in the game at the moment. So, and I think to Kendi's point just then about the shape that Cronulla are in, not just on the field, but also off the field, like in relation to their salary cap, they've got so many big name players off contract next year. I think they're going to have upwards of $3.5-4 million to go and spend in terms of a checkbook. So,
and they'll be able to get rid of the dead weight too, Hoops. Like there's been guys there that have really dragged the club down from a point of view that the salary that they command compared to what they provide don't equate. And because of that, Cronulla, I think, have been batting overs for some time now. You've probably got to go back to their premiership year to find the last time that basically they were getting full value for money out of their salary cap. I think whoever the new coach is, he'll want to get in there soon. He'll want to start making some decisions. And to Hoops' point, one of the real attractions about Craig Fitzgibbon is he's seen as a coach that players will gravitate towards. And you know, and I said this before about Johnny, and I say this respectfully, because everyone that knows John Morris admires the man and admires the job he does. But what Cronulla have found is that when they've tried to negotiate with players for next season and season after, and even for this season, whenever the coaching situation came up, players were, they're okay about it, but they weren't, oh, yeah, I'd love to play for him. And they're not attracting players because of who the coach is. Whereas I think someone like Fitzgibbon would attract the players.
I don't know that Cronulla supporters or even Roosters supporters for that matter, I think it's a little bit unclear here, boys. Are they looking at having Fitzy go to Cronulla during this season or at the start of next season?
No, next season.
No, right. Next year. Okay. From 2022 onwards.
All right. 133353 is a number. We're just getting a little bit of a backlog there of the Cronulla supporters. We hope to get to you guys shortly. So, John Morris looks like... Well, I thought I did read somewhere earlier in the week, though, there may be some interest in Bomber maybe doing a coaching role at another club. Have you got any details on that, boys? Or I'd imagine that, or is that just a rumour at the moment? Certainly he'd have a lot to offer still, Hoops.
Yeah, there's been some talk. I mean, look, you look at that game last night, and as much as defensively, you know, in the second half when the game was in the balance, the Sharks came up with some hard decisions. Wade Graham had been taken off with an HIA. Josh Dugan had been taken off with an HIA. So they were down to 15 players as it was. Mm. And it had been a brave performance. I thought the attacking move to kick to Daniel Tupou, right, and have Daniel Tupou coming back rather than giving the ball to Teddy, and then Tupou has a second carry, that shows that Bomber's clearly got what it takes as an NRL head coach. And he can design smart ploys to try and upset the opposition's rhythm. Defensively, they have still got a few issues. And so, as a result, look, I'm sure if he's not at Cronulla, that in all likelihood, he probably will be able to bob up somewhere else because he's shown enough in what he's already done with the Sharks.
Look, he'll get a start. And there's also a feeling that another few years as an assistant somewhere, let's remember, he was thrown into the job because
Shane Flanagan, young,
and he still hadn't really completed his apprenticeship because Shane Flanagan was banned by the NRL. Cronulla didn't really have a lot of options at the time, so they gave it to him as an interim role, and he was doing well enough that they thought, well, let's just see how he goes. But I still think Johnny Morris is a coach who is still learning, and as I said, it's vital when you get into that role, you know what you're going to do. And a lot of times you see guys coming to the job who are still learning as they go. And so what they do is I'll make a decision and 3 weeks later they'll change to another decision. Then a month after that they'll go back to their first decision and they swap and change too much. And what that does is it creates an insecurity in the playing group. The players are the first to sniff a fraud. And if they think the coach doesn't know what he's talking about or is not certain in what he's trying to teach them, then they won't buy in.
Mm.
And they're the first guys that smell it. And if that's happening, then it's very hard to get the playing group back. And that's the issue. So I'm all for coaches going away. And David Waite used to say to young footballers coming through, mate, for every week you spend in reserve grade, it's another year you're going to add to your career at the end of it in first grade because you're learning the basics, you can learn. He always used to impress upon young players, don't be in too much of a hurry to get to first grade because sometimes you get there too early and you haven't got the proper schooling. It's the same with coaching.
Boys, look at the Sharkies players off contract at the end of the season. Josh Dugan, Marwin Hirotti, Sean Johnson, Will Kennedy. He's a good player, isn't he, Will Kennedy?
I think he's re-signed, mate.
Okay.
So I don't know where you got that list from.
Nene McDonald. I got it out of the Little Bay Bugle this morning on the way to work.
Be highly accurate then.
Nene McDonald, Billy Magoulis, Matty Moylan, Kyle Patterson. Toby Rudolph still off contract?
He is, mate. The big ones, right,
yep,
are Rudolph, Aaron Woods, Matt Moylan, Josh Dugan, Sean Johnson. Right there you got about, I think it's about 3 mil.
Right.
Roughly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you go. You'll have a little bit of money to spend. Well, boys, we might take a break because we've got to clean the decks here because at 1:30, a guest's coming on way, way above your pay grade, Hoops, so you might want to duck out and get a coffee. That's right. The boss of the NRL, Peter Volandis, comes on at 1:30 as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Couple of games to get through today, and that one tonight's a beauty. Parramatta and the Dragons, and of course, Cowboys and West Tigers. West Tigers at home. Just before we throw to a special Tommy Radonikis tribute that we've put together, a lot of big issues surrounding this game, Hoops, in terms of crowds and what's going on as part of the West's side of the remembrance of Tommy today at Leichhardt Oval, mate.
Yeah, the West Tigers have obviously decided that they're going to retire the number 7 jumper. So Luke Brooks will wear a different number today as a sign of respect to the great Tommy Raudonikis. The jumpers that they will wear today, they normally wear the orange strip at Leichhardt, but because of Tommy's passing, they're going to wear the black and white strip, which obviously is more akin to the Western Suburbs Magpies side of the joint venture. The jerseys will have a special in memoriam of Tommy Raudonikis with his number from his playing days, which was hashtag number 655. In terms of where he fits in the pecking order of both clubs, players who've worn the jumper. There was even some talk that they might do when at the 7 minute mark, they're going to encourage everybody to stand up and give a standing ovation for a minute. They'll obviously do a minute silence prior to the game, as we've seen at all games across the weekend, and it's a sellout at Leichhardt. You won't be able to get a ticket, so get there early, and I'm sure it'll be a great day.
The Magpie number 7 jersey that Luke Brooks won't be wearing is actually going to be on the bench.
Okay. Nice touch. Nice. Good on them, the West Tigers. Justin Pascoe and his team there. We love you guys and we wish you all the best today. A special tribute to Tommy that the guys have put together. And then, Paul, I want to get some of your thoughts and memories and you too, Gordy and Hoops. But here it is before we go any further. Triple M.
We've lost one of the legends of rugby league, Tommy Raudonikis.
I've probably got no regrets, but I suppose I liked a good time a little bit too much.
And I've forgotten.
I played it with a passion. I was loyal.
Where I was.
He's died at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer.
Whatever jersey I wore, I played my bum out for it.
Tommy made his name back in the day as the halfback for the Western Suburbs Magpies and the mighty Newtown Jets.
He got two wooden spoons. Wasn't very nice.
He played for Australia 29 times and was a regular in the New South Wales Blues.
State of origin, there's no more biff-ups, and that's what's affecting the game.
Even having a crack as coach in the 90s.
Where I got the biggest kick was coaching New South Wales.
He played 238 professional games of rugby league, and this was back in the 70s and 80s. It was tough.
Yous are tough, and yous can't go and swing a punch, you can't do anything.
He'll be most remembered running amok in the mighty Western Suburbs Magpies jersey. The son of Ukrainian parents, he became the epitome of what it is to be Australian. Inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame, awarded an Order of Australia medal, and infamous as an Aussie larrikin.
He put his hand up and said, "Coach, let's call it the cattle dog."
Raudonikis.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, mate.
Just an outpour of emotion from rugby league people of both sides of the border. Paul, you knew him well. Mm. Let me start off. I wanted to ask you about this. He obviously has a close association with John Singleton. Can you talk me through, question on the spot, how he come to go from West to Newtown? Obviously, Singo played a part in that, but still it would seem to be a big move back in that time.
There's a couple of versions. I don't know whether I should tell all the versions. Newtown were a team coming through at the time. They thought they had young kids who were going to be something one day, and they thought they had the skeletons of a pretty good team, but they really lacked leadership. Warren Ryan was in his first stint as a head coach and obviously was making waves there, was teaching a game of rugby league that is now the blueprint for the way every team plays. But back then it was revolutionary, and he was having a lot of success with unfashionable teams because of his great coaching. But the one thing that hadn't been really impressed upon the players was how to win. That they gave up a little bit at different times. They didn't know how to win. So Tommy was identified as West were breaking up, where Manly came in and ravaged them, taking Dorahy and Donnelly and Les Boyd and there's one more thing.
Brown.
Ray Brown went. So three of them went. So the West were breaking up. So Singo, I'll tell the story. Look, Singo was interested in getting Tommy over. He was a benefactor of the club. So Steve Bowden, who was at the club, spoke, and they organised to get Tommy over for a meeting to sit down and say, okay, we want you to come and play for us. So Tommy was asked to come around to Singo's house, and the way it was told to me is Singo was married to Belinda Green at the time, who's Miss Australia, literally was Miss Australia. And she's answered the phone, the door in this little green slip of a thing.
Mm.
And after that, it was sold. Tommy was coming to Newtown. That was, so they took him through to the room, you know, the back of the house and sat down, Singo and Steve Bowden, convinced him to come to Newtown. And I wrote this story yesterday, which I hadn't heard before, which was in his early start at Newtown. Four games in, they're playing Parramatta, and Parramatta, Ray Price and Arthur Beetson, Mick Cronin, Jeff Gerrard, Ron Hilditch, all played for Australia. Sterling was in the side. He was in his first full season. Eric Groth was in the side. Yeah, they'd still yet to play for Australia, but obviously we're going to go and have great careers. And Tommy was there for the Jets as the only Australian player in the team at the time. They had a couple of blokes who'd done a little bit of rep football here and there, but they weren't a big side. And what happened was at halftime, Tommy had this big gash in the top of his head, and the blood was coming out of it that quickly. It was bubbling out of his head, and it's spilling down. It's matting up his hair and spilling down his face. And once they got in the dressing room, Parramatta, I think, were leading 12-9 at the time. They got in the dressing room, and the doctors come over with the needle and the sewing kit to try and sew it up and try and stop it bleeding. And Tommy pushed him away and told him, you know, in Tommy's words, "Leave me alone." Doctor's gone in again, and he said, "Leave me alone." At that point, when Warren Ryan's addressing the team, Tommy's got up and walked to the middle of the room. This is four games into his Newtown career. And he's interrupted Warren Ryan, and he said, "Bleed with me." He said, "Let's go out and show these bastards what we can do. Bleed with me." And he smeared the blood over himself and made a bit of a show of it. But that resonated with the team, because the one thing that about Tommy, he was authentic to who he was. And everybody has said this about Tommy. He never asked you to do something he wouldn't do. And here he was in the middle of the room, showing that he didn't care about the blood, that he wanted them to get out and put a bit of skin in the game as well. So Newtown went out that day and they won the game, I think it was 17-14. And from that moment, Newtown started to figure it out. And the story that's been told a lot was about time Johnny Lewis asked Tommy to, Warren Ryan, to lay off Tommy, because the Wok had this habit of falling out with his playmakers throughout his career. At Newtown, it was Tommy Radonigas. And he said, "You've got to lay off Tommy," and because Johnny knew how important Tommy was to the playing group. And Warren got the shits and said, "Listen," he said, "every time we lose, it's Ryan, and every time we win, it's Radonigas." And Johnny said, "Yeah, Warren, but yeah, you only taught him how to play football. Tommy taught him how to win."
Mm.
And there is a difference in the game about that. And so that was the beginning, in many ways, of the legend of Tommy. Yeah, of a part of the legend of Tommy, I should say, because he was already well established by that stage with his career at Western Suburbs. But that sort of kicked into the next part of his career. And Tommy just became this endearing figure through that. And everybody that you talk to who knows Tommy or knows a little bit about Tommy can tell you stories. And some of I've heard for a lot of years. And it's very hard finding news stories, but the game meant so much to Tommy. Laurie Daly was saying the other night that when he was coaching New South Wales, they'd have a train and run, they'd finish, they'd do all they had to do, and Tommy would then finish up and they'd all go back to their rooms. And Tommy would get the form guide and he'd go down to the pub to watch the races for the afternoon. He'd say, "I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this."
Mm.
He just loved it so much. And then during the Super League war, and this is, I've never heard this story told by anyone before, but during the Super League war, they were doing all the loyalty payments and everybody was lining up to go in and get their check. And eventually they called Tommy in. He was coaching Western Suburbs. They called him in and they said, "Mate, we've got something for you." And he said, "What's that?" And they had a check. Now, the person told me, couldn't remember whether it was for $200,000 or $300,000. It was one or the other. And they said, "Mate, take this." He said, "What's that?" I said, "It's a check for a loyalty payment." He said, "I don't want it." And they said, "Mate, you don't have to do anything different. You just take the check and put it in your bank." Mm. Like, it didn't change any circumstance of his employment. He said, "Mate, I do this job for nothing." And they said, "Yeah, we get that, but we're not asking you to do anything for the check either. Just take the check and put it in your bank." He said, "No, I don't want it. I do it for nothing. I love coaching the kids. This is what I'm about. I don't want the money." So he knocked it back.
Amazing.
He's the only bloke in the game that knocked it back. Everybody else was holding out for more.
Mm.
Some went back for seconds.
Yeah.
And here's Tommy, and that's how genuine he was. When he said he would do it for nothing, he did it for nothing. He was on bugger all at Western Suburbs when he was coaching there. Like they couldn't. One of the attractions for them to have him as coach was he was willing to do it for six buttons. He didn't want a lot of money there. They couldn't afford it. They were going broke at the time, which is why they had to amalgamate with the Tigers after the Super League War. And that's the authenticity of the guy that we almost take for granted. That we just assume that everybody's got that, but he actually lived it. Most of us think we'd like to do something for nothing.
Mm.
But if someone put a check here for 200 grand to go and do exactly the same thing, like, look at you, Anthony, you're starting to lick your lips.
I'll be honest, right? Mate, I wouldn't do it for nothing. No, if somebody offered me 300, I'd take it.
Yeah, but that's him. And there's so many stories about that he does. Like, he tells the story about the time when he was a baby, and he got his mum put him to bed one night, and his father said, "What's wrong with Tommy?" And she said, "I don't know." He said, "He's hungry." He said, "She's because he was crying and whinging," and he said, "He's hungry." And she said, "No, he's just been fed." Anyway, he cried and whinged all night, and then. Finally, when they went and checked on him because he wouldn't stop complaining, or wouldn't stop crying, they found that his mother had put the nappy on in the dark and she put the needle straight through his skin.
Ooh.
So that's why he's crying. But the bit about that I love is Tommy says, and he's a baby, he says, "I like to think that's the last time I ever cried through pain."
Wow.
Yeah, because he was authentically tough. Mm-hmm. And more than he was tough, he was fearless. That's the thing I think gets overlooked. He didn't care who you were, how big you were. He's like the little chihuahua in the fight. He didn't see size.
He had no mirrors at his place.
No, he did not see size.
Like that, you know, all the footage that come up, like Ray Price, they said that he was Parramatta's gauge. When he left, they didn't win any more comps, and I've heard you talk about that before. He's the one that started fighting Tommy. He's the one that went after, and he knew that he had to get Tommy. And Tommy just gets on the ground, and he just starts laying into him. And Ray Price went backwards a little bit. That's how tough Tommy is, you know. And Tommy, I don't know all the stories, but I just know Origin because of him and Arthur. I think Tommy is loved by Queenslanders, and it's very, very – I think it's difficult how we build up this hatred, and it's state versus state and mate versus mate, but Tommy – is loved by Queenslanders, and I don't know whether it's because he came up here and he coached Ipswich or whatever, but, you know, wherever Tommy would be in Queensland, you know, he'd get a great, great reception.
Because he was genuine, Gordon. Yeah. And Tommy was the sort of guy you'd sit and have a beer with, and if you liked the company, it didn't matter who was in the group, and I say this respectfully, but often I remember being out one night, I'll say this quickly, but Tommy and a few of the media guys from 2GB, where he's working at the time, whatnot, he got a phone call from an ex-New South Wales player who he knew. "Oh, mate, what are you doing?" They're all out having a beer, wherever they were elsewhere in Brisbane. It was the night before an Origin game. And people were going, the Blues were going, "Where's Tommy? Get him here, get him here." Now, he was across town in another pub with us. And he sat and listened. He said, "Yeah, right." And he said, "No, what, mate? I'm here with some pretty good blokes, so I might just stay here."
Mm.
Most ex-players would be out like a scalded cat.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Leave the journos behind and go, you know? Yeah. But he was happy in the company he was at because the airs and graces and all that rubbish that a lot of people find important, he really didn't care about. All he cared about was were you a good bloke or not.
So this is why, this is the part that I'm trying to dig into, mate. Now, he would have been at West's when Boyd and Ray Brown and maybe John Dorahy, I think, defected to Manly. So they defected to Manly. He would have been there at West, Tommy Rudonik is saying, "We're going to give it to these blokes, they're traitors."
He went to Newtown the same year.
Oh, it was the same year.
79. Right. They're all at West in 79.
And they took off.
And in 1980, they went to Manly and Tommy was at Newtown.
I think West won anyone cares now. I think West won the minor premiership in 1980, which was quite a...
No, 78.
Oh, was it? Okay.
78 with Tommy as captain.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Pollock, what about that story? It's quite funny where Singo loves his big birds, and West won when Tommy was coaching, so it might have been 95, 96 or something like that. And he used to have those big macaws, those beautiful big parrots, and they won and they all went out to have a beer, and Singo's got that beautiful big parrot with him, and Tommy goes, "Geez, I love that bird, you know, it's this beautiful, colourful bird." anyway, he was talking about it. They went to a few pubs or whatever, and then Tommy was fishing at the Parramatta River, and he's with another player, and he was there, and a bloke rang him and said, "Oh, g'day, mate. John Singleton gave me your number. He said that you love this bird, you know, those parrots. He goes, I can get you one for $5,000. Tommy goes, tell Singo I'll stick with the crows.
But, yeah. All right, boys. Well, black.
We might have to wrap that up now, but yeah, we're thinking of Tommy today too, and of course his beautiful family at Cbus Super Stadium yesterday. But we need to take a break, boys, because the boss, the godfather, the head of the rugby league, Mr. Peter Vallandis, joins us next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. And, of course, the scores we do always and every Sunday for Tyre Power. Huge store-wide sale. Buy three and get one free on Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. And we have a couple of games to be played today. Now, the first one is the Tigers and the Cowboys at Leichhardt Oval. That is a sellout, according to our friend Hoops. And then tonight, Parramatta Dragons. That's a great game. And the Dragons, I reckon they're a chance there. That should be a good game. Boys, before we go any further and discuss anything else, let's cross to the boss of the Australian Rugby League, Peter Vallandis on the Sunday Sin Bin. What a get. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Nice to speak to you, mate. Where are you now? Do you ever get a day off?
No, I'm heading out to Bankwest Stadium for the Parramatta St. George game later this afternoon, Anthony.
All right, we're glad to get you on, Pete. We want to go through a few things. What's on the agenda again is the 17th team in the NRL. Can you tell us how close that is to a decision being made? Wayne Bennett's obviously made it known this week that he wants involvement, so he needs to know so he can figure out his real estate.
Look, I think everyone's ahead of themselves here on the 17th team. We have to do a very diligent analysis, and we're in the process of doing that. We've always said that we wouldn't do the 17th team unless a business case stacked up. There's got to be additional revenues and additional tangible benefits to the game for us to do it. We don't have that report. We don't even have an interim report.
How far away then?
Look, we're looking at making a decision in June or July when all those analyses are completed, and then we'll make an informed decision. Up until then, you know, it's... We'll just keep saying it's got to stack up as a business case. It's got to show other tangible benefits or we won't do it.
So how does it stack up then, Pete? If you're going to have a 17th team come in, they're going to immediately qualify for the $13 million grant that each club gets in the NRL, but you don't have an extra game to sell.
Look, there's plenty of ways where it stacks up, and one of them is participation. One of the great objectives of this commission is to increase participation. Every metric rounds around participation. And if we can increase participation in Queensland, and it's a heartland, we have had some competition up there in the last couple of years, and we need to counteract it. We need to keep Queensland a rugby league state. So there's a lot of other benefits other than just financial. But what we've discovered is if people participate, even if it's in tag or touch or in some way, they become fans and they become the viewers in the future when we're selling broadcast rights.
Pete, if you come to June, July, if you decide that you will get another team and that team's based in Brisbane, and then we look to have the team on the field in 2023, and it's, I know it's all ifs and maybes now, but do you think that July 21... 18 months till 2023, is that long enough to get the infrastructure in place, the marketing, the sales, the home ground, the players? Is that enough time to start an NRL franchise?
Look, we believe so. And these three bidders that are competing are very, very well advanced. They have done some substantial work. And they're very impressive in their submissions. So I don't doubt them at all that they could be up and ready by 23. To a certain extent, they could be ready within 6 to 12 months.
Is it right, Pete, that you have run into a little bit of resistance from the existing 16 clubs?
Look, the clubs want to see that it's going to be of benefit to them. They don't want to lose any of their payments, naturally, and I can understand that. And that's why I've always said the business case has got to stack up. It's not going to affect any of the clubs. If anything, it should add value to the competition. It should add value to the existing franchises and bring in new revenues. And I don't think they've got anything to worry about, because we've also said that one of the key aspects for us is we don't want to see the Broncos or the Titans cannibalised, and that's going to be one of the big factors. As I said, the main a driving force for me on the 17th team is participation. We want to have new pathways for players up in Queensland. We want to improve the pathways, and the 17th team may be able to do that.
What allowances will you give the 17th team?
Look, as I said, Paul, we haven't discussed any of that. We haven't even got an interim report. So until we get all that information, what I'd be saying now is purely speculative.
Okay.
All right, let's get on to the other big ticket item in relation to your tenure, the rule changes. Everybody has been huge fans of them, but we are starting to see a bit of a divide between the best sides and then the rest of the pack. What's your view?
Oh, look, I think it's overhyped. I think it's exaggerated. I think that, they'll start blaming the potholes in Pitt Street soon on the new rules because it's not the case. The bottom eight teams after round four in 2019, the difference in the points was 12.4. This year, it's only 8.3. Admittedly, the bottom eight, it was 13.5 in 2019, and it's 19.7 this year. So there is a small increase, but I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Yeah, and obviously teams have just still got to adjust too, Pete, because it looks like some teams are adjusting to the new rules and their interpretations quicker than other teams.
And absolutely, and I believe that sometimes some of the rules masked elements of the teams and the new rules certainly expose them and they have to adapt. And I'm sure they will adapt over time.
One of the other things, Pete, we saw yesterday, we saw Philip Sammy get knocked out in the Newcastle game, Titans Newcastle. And there's been a lot of talk about the concussion and what's happening there and the recent change to allow an 18th man on the bench and all the rest of it. But one thing that we're not seeing, and I'm still surprised the game is tolerating this, That shot yesterday put Tyson Frizzell on report. But I dare say in any other era, shoulder into the face of an opponent would have been a send-off.
I can't disagree with you, Paul. I believe it should have been at least a sin bin, and which would have brought the 18th player on. So, look, we'll certainly discuss that, and we'll have some new policies put in place to address that because it's certainly not tolerable at the moment.
We've seen a couple over the weekend where players have been concussed, and players who committed the offence have been put on report, but not sin bin or sent off, which sort of basically negates having the 18th man there if the referees don't have the strength to put him on the bench or to put him in the bin or put him off for the rest of the game.
Look, they've got all the technology at their disposal. They can certainly go back to the bunker and get some advice off them in relation if they believed it was a sin bin or a send-off. There's no excuse. And that's why we made it that it had to be a sin bin or a send-off so it wouldn't be manipulated. Mm. And, as I said, we've got technology. We've got spotters in the room at the bunker. They look at every element of the tackle. So they would know better than anyone if it should be a sin bin or a send-off.
Speaking of spotters in the room, Pete, you're in the Sunday Telegraph today, the What's the Buzz section, spotted at the races with Gil McLaughlin from the AFL. Talk us through that picture.
Well, he wanted to see me eye to eye, so I had to get on a chair because he's about 6 foot. He's about 6 foot nine. Look, now Gil's a very nice guy. He's a very good administrator, and he has to be if he's administrating the AFL. So. It was a very friendly catch up, and I've got a lot of respect for the man.
Did you actually talk any specifics, Pete, about either code?
No, not really. No, it was really a casual day, and it was just a casual conversation. And I think that he was pleased to meet me, and as I was with him, and it was just more casual and entertaining than it was a business.
Did you tip him Cascadian in the Doncaster? Yeah.
No, I tipped him the horse that ran last. I wasn't going to tip him the winner.
That's the way.
All right, Pete, I think we're done here, mate. We've got to move on. Hey, have a great afternoon. Parramatta and the Dragons will be calling that game. And as usual, as a rugby league fan, I thank you for your efforts, mate, and we hope to catch up with you again soon.
No, my pleasure, boys.
Good on you. Peter Volandi's joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin with Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis live in the Gordon Tallis studio in Brisbane and Maroon. Look, we've still got a couple of things to talk about, Hoops.
Just on the Parramatta Dragons game, Anthony, the Eels have been in touch. They're expecting a bumper crowd of over 25,000 people. They want people to try and pre-purchase tickets, if possible, to avoid queues at the box office.
Okay, and it's a sellout at Leichhardt Oval. So if you're going to that game, that's at 4 o'clock. Probably leave your car at home And your home will be as close as you can park to Leichhardt Oval. So leave your car at home and walk to Leichhardt Oval.
Leave your car at home, get an Uber, and go to either the Orange Grove Hotel or the Gary Owen for a beer beforehand.
Okay.
And
then you, do you have a commercial arrangement with either of those?
No, not like yourself.
A commercial?
No.
Okay. A what?
A commercial arrangement.
Is that what I said? Is
his relationship's purely personal.
Thank you. We've just had the chief of the rugby league, the big boss, on. Gordy didn't open his mouth, and then he wants to chip at me for saying commercial.
Well, do you know, because he covered everything. I was going to ask about
expansion,
and he covered everything. Mm. You know, they're going to do all that and make sure that the game can afford it, and that was going to be my question. And it's obviously going to be up in Queensland because he kept on talking about growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he answered everything.
Good on you, Gordy. Good to catch up with you. Paul Kent, Hoops, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Storm, the Doggies game. The Dogs got hammered again, and we'll have a little bit of fun in the course of the afternoon. Yes, it's back. Maroon's original trivia. Better than the guy at Dick's Hotel in Balmain. This is the real deal. And it's coming up shortly at Triple M.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And for Tyre Power, scores so far this round with two good games to play this afternoon. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. South 35, Broncos 6, Manly 13, Warriors 12, Panthers 30, Raiders 10, Gold Coast 42, Knights 16, Storm 52, Dogs 18, Roosters 26, Sharks 18. Now, you've got some late mail on this Cowboys-Tigers game. Hoops.
Yeah, a little bit of news. Joey Leilua, who was dropped a couple of weeks ago for the West Tigers, he will get his opportunity back in the NRL today. He'll start in the centres. That means Moses Mbai goes back to the interchange bench, and Richard Cheekham is the player who misses out for the Cowboys. Josh Maguire's out with an infected elbow, and Jason Tomalolo, who busted his hand at training after round one. The talk was that he was going to play, but then we've learned in the last 24 hours that he hasn't recovered in time.
Now I'm hearing all sorts of things coming out. My spies up there in North Queensland, that things aren't all rosy. Josh Maguire and Todd Payton, what are you hearing, Hoops?
Is this going to be in Maroon Confidential? You're not going to go early, mate, are you?
You've done. You just cannibalise yourself. That's two you've got now.
But mate, I've got
to
look
have to be a good section. It's going to have to be. Maroon Confidential. You're just throwing these diamonds out before you even get to it.
But mate, I watch Hoops on Fox League and I go, I've got to help this kid out. If I get something, I'll help him out.
In fairness to Maroon Confidential, I think you were actually the first person to float that Cronulla might have had a sneaky bid at Craig Bellamy way back over the course of the summer.
So thanks to our man Victor the Vessel up there on Redfern Street.
He has got some strong mail. Now, look, in relation to Josh Maguire, I think it's now widely accepted that Josh won't be staying at the Cowboys. His management's been in dialogue with the Dragons now for the last couple of weeks trying to get a deal done. I think it'll happen. Probably should happen coming up early this week. So he'll end up down at the Red V effective immediately. And the Cowboys will have to chip in a bit of his freight.
All right, let's take some time out from footy and do this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Well, this is what we've got today. We've gone back to general knowledge trivia. Don't forget your name is your buzzer today, Paul. Remember like the other week you forgot your buzzer.
Yeah, I know. How come we're going early? You usually do this the second hour.
Well, we're just mixing things up a little bit I wasn't going to tell you why, but I'll tell you why. Because our competitors are listening. Two rugby league talk shows. Plus, you guys at Fox, your guys, they're trying to, you know, map down what we do, what our template to success is. Oh, so okay. I said to the boys, move the furniture around a little bit today.
Well, it's funny you say that because we know you are a trivia master, but Hoops and I actually had a night out Wednesday night.
Yeah.
At one of the local establishments where there's a trivia night going on. The Sackville, yeah. We're quite impressed with the trivia that was on offer there that night, Anthony. Yeah.
It was actually a West Tigers trivia night.
Is that right? Yeah. I've seen that guy,
questions about Balmain, Western Suburbs, obviously Memorial for Tommy Rodonikis, and then also some West Tigers questions as well. But he was a trained professional this
week. Was he?
Yeah. Really knew how to control and hold the room.
Mm. Yeah. In the competitive, like that natural world of trivia, like, are you the lion and he's the gazelle, or how does it work?
Put it this way, I am the lobster, he is the Devon in the world of world of trivia.
Yes.
You come to Wente or Ingleburn.
Tell you what, he had a huge capacity attendance.
Well, mate, you know,
everybody was engaged. Everybody was engaged.
They've got to go somewhere because I can't fit any more in an Ingleburn or Wente. So I'm glad that you know he's getting a bit of the spill off.
I'm just saying, there's a bit of competition. He, like I said, great hair. Matty John's actually was commenting about your new haircut. He said when he saw it, he wanted to hit you with the Yonics. So,
well, we haven't heard from Matt from Collaroy today.
No, Matt from Collaroy. He'll be in there. There's no doubt. He's probably on his way to Leichhardt Oval now, where he'll probably have a couple of local beverages.
Okay, all right. Well, if you please get in touch with us, Matty. We're just worried that you're not okay because we haven't heard from you. Now, as far as the prize goes today,
he's gone a full hour without bagging you. So you're
I know he has. I know he has. And I had contacted him this week too because I wanted to get a quote from him to make an appearance at one of my gigs. And if you are listening, Matty, I only want you to make an appearance. I don't want you to give the bloke heart surgery. So if you could take a couple of zeros off the end, we might be able to fit you in. Have we still got time for trivia or should we take a break? All right, let's do it. Okay, no prize today because our producer Tony Soprano's mother hasn't come up with the goods as she usually does. So what I'll do is, for the winner, I will send you round to their place and Assunta will give you some homemade cannolis or some Bubba Ghoul or buy you some Krispy Kremes. Are you ready, boys? Your name is your buzzer. Now we've got to do this quickly. We're running out of time. Question number one. Your name is your buzzer. On the Aussie movie classic, The Castle, what's the family's last name?
Hoops.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, the Kerrigans.
Correct. Come on, mate. You can do it. 1-0. You didn't look at the questions, did you? And I was...
Oh, please.
Question number two. What's the Japanese word for teacher? What's the Japanese word for teacher?
Paul?
Yes.
Son?
No.
What is it?
Sensei.
Sensei.
You're minus one.
That's it. Same thing.
You're one.
Sensei, yeah.
You're zero. You're in the box.
Karate kid. Like, honestly.
Well, I mean...
Fancy getting your information from Karate Kid.
Mate, that's not Karate Kid. I know that anyway. I don't need to watch Karate Kid again.
That is a good series, Karate Kid.
No, what's
the Karate Kid
Thank
films?
You, Margie.
What breed of dog is a sausage dog?
Paul.
Yes.
Dachshund.
Yeah, baby. He's back. 1-0. Nil all.
Go on, just go.
Right, here we go. Mate, I've got to do the scores. You asked me why I'm better than the guy at Sackville. This is why. The next question. What supermarket chain was founded in SN, Germany?
Gordy.
Yes,
Aldi.
Gordy. Aldi is right. 1-1. And now we go again. What sport do the Utah Jazz play?
Paul. Basketball.
Correct. Now we're all on one, I think.
No, on two.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Is he on two? I thought he was on.
Yes. He is on two.
All right,
now.
Okay, no worries. Keep somebody needs to keep
control.
I've got
usual,
enough
Anthony.
To do here without okay.
All right. Remember
the
score.
Here's the next question. In mythology, who supported the heavens on his shoulders?
Paul.
Paul.
Hercules.
Hercules is wrong. It's Atlas.
Atlas, that's right.
Right, okay, here we go.
You're holding the earth up.
What Aussie singer is the lead singer of the band, or was the lead singer of the band, Ice House?
Paul.
Ivor Davies.
All right, now you're two. How much are you?
Electric
one.
Blue.
One. Oh, you've only got to get one, Paul, and you'll put us all out of our misery.
Yeah.
Here we go. In what American state is Nashville?
Paul.
Hoops. Paul.
Tennessee.
Ah, yeah. He even gave you a start that day. Jeez. I tell you what, Hoops, I like to encourage people, but you and Gordy are absolutely, not only are you hopeless, you are stupid. Let's take a break. Come back with more.
That's
as
a
Triple M
from you, Anthony.
Rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.